Thank you, Jesus. That will get amended in a minute. There is just somebody here who needs to know this one thing. I've just been worshipping there. That you are hidden with Christ in God. So whatever you are living through right now, you are hidden in Christ in God. Since then, is that any better? More, lower? Okay. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, so that when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, Jesus knows every single thing about us. The things that have happened to us, even in this very day, things that have happened to us this week, he just knows everything. I just give Jesus the glory tonight. Father God, I just pray now that we all have an audience of one, and that is you. We all have an audience of one as we look to you, Jesus. Every single one of us, as we read your word, as we think about your word, as we speak, that we have an audience of one. And it is you, Christ Jesus, the Lamb upon the throne. Amen. Okay, so the scripture tonight is a really well-known story. It's from John 6. It's the feeding of the 5,000. We have the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Normally, I would bring... You're there. Normally, I would bring... what are they called? Visual aids. Fish. The bread would have been fine. 5 loaves would have been fine. We wouldn't have worried about the bread, but the fish might have been a bit difficult. I would have done it, but I think it's too warm for the mackerel. Too warm for mackerel. So that's what's going to be happening in a minute. But before we get to it, that runs all the way through the talk. And the other thing I want us to do now, and if you feel comfortable with doing this, just close your eyes. You don't have to. And I want you to think about all the different parts of your life. Your home life, your work life, your family, the situations you're in, your neighbours, every single thing about your life that you are living through now. The people you meet, the conversations you have, the hobbies you have, the things that interest you. Just have a think about your life, because we are all very, very different and we meet different people. Think about your daily patterns. Think about your habits. Think about the conversations. Think about your opinions. Think about your cultural background. Think about your upbringing. Just think about the whole of you as you are tonight. And I pray that the Lord will affect your life. Amy, can we have the next slide, please? Sometime after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the hillside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. So you've got the picture already. He thinks, this is Jesus, that there's going to be, or his disciples think there's going to be a quiet little hillside occasion. Above the lake. Beautiful picture. Then Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And we'll add the women and children as well. We always have to, we always do. Jesus then touched the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over and those who had over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is a prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again into the hills by himself. We really know this story well. And when I was, this "let nothing be wasted" had been ticking over in my mind for quite a time. And when I came to this again, I'd made some notes some time back, and I came to this again very recently, and the Lord showed me 3 things. The tension, the touch, and the trigger. The tension, the touch, and the trigger. So if we have the next slide, we've got the tension. And that is what, that's a few bits of what tension means. So if you took the disciples, particularly Philip and Andrew, they were under a lot of emotional strain, as I am presuming the other disciples were, because Jesus had said to them, you know, "These people need food. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And all of a sudden, the disciples are in the position of having to provide for 5,000 plus people. It was a logistic nightmare. Absolutely a nightmare. And they would have had high tension over this. 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And those 8 months' wages are for a labourer. About 1 denarius a day. And then Andrew, he says, "Well, here's the boy. He's got some food. But it's just not going to be enough. Really, you really must be kidding. We have to provide food for all of these people." Their tension was incredibly high. They were right out of their comfort zone because they hadn't really been with Jesus that long. This is John 6. It's kind of early on Jesus' ministry, and they'd seen some miracles, but they were still learning. They were still learning. And it was difficult for them, really, really difficult. There was high anxiety, and it doesn't surprise any of us that their response was not full of faith, because it was just too much. You have a crowd surging right towards you. Now, the crowd are incredibly excited because they want Jesus to perform. He'd already performed before, if you read up to this point. They'd seen some miracles, but they wanted performance, and they were very excited, and they were full of anticipation. Now, that is a good type of tension. And I would like to ask you this question. When you come into the presence of the Lord, are you ready and waiting? Are you excited? Are you full of anticipation that the Lord is going to move in your life? Do you have that right type of tension? That when you come before the Lord, privately or corporately in this church, or wherever you meet in a group of Christians, do you have that excited anticipation? That when you go into the closet and you shut the door and you sit down and you think, Lord, I'm here, speak. Do you have that in your life? And it comes out of worship, adoration, and love, that you want to be with Jesus. Let's move on to the next slide. I think you need to know that I'm running an iPad here that was dropped on the kitchen floor 5 years ago, and there's a spider's web right the way across the top, so I'm pleased it's working. Okay, the touch. Now, this is a famous part, isn't it, of the story, the touch. This is when one part of you touches something else, and it isn't just to do with the body, it can be to do with the area of your mind and your will and your emotions. And for Christians, it's also to do with our spirits, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that wonderful touch of the Lord. So this is where the miracle takes place. This was the picnic to be at. Then Jesus took the loaves. He touched the bread. It's really significant. He touched the bread, and he did the same with the fish. And it's at that touch that the blessing starts, the miracle begins. And then the disciples take that food out to the crowd, and it is multiplied at the distribution. We don't know how, other than it's a miracle. It is the blessing of Jesus in that place. They were in the presence of a man who changes things. What is impossible becomes possible with the touch of the Master. In the hands of the Master, your life changes. 5 loaves, 2 fish. They were extremely humble offering. They baked bread in those days, and it was barley that was baked. And they would have baked it every day, and that's what would have happened in the oven. And that little boy would have picked up those loaves at home, and probably, with my imagination, he ran. He ran with them to be part of that crowd. I don't know if his parents were there, but that was his picnic. That is what he had got. And it seems very meager, insignificant, and totally inadequate for the 5,000. But it was just what Jesus needed. The miracle happens at the distribution, and life takes place. Everybody there had their fill. They had enough to eat, satisfaction, replete, provision, over and above and beyond what was needed. How do we know that? It is because they picked up all of those broken pieces. 12 baskets were full. Now, at the beginning, before the miracle took place, not even 1 basket would have been full of the 5 loaves and the fish, but now 12 were full. Now, this is the thing about this. Can we have the next slide, please, Amy? The thing about this is that that bread was not to be wasted, because it carried the blessing, and we don't know where that bread went. Let nothing be wasted. Let nothing be lost. Let nothing at all in your life, when Jesus touches you and he speaks into your life, let nothing be lost or wasted. Now, in the Hebrew, no, in the Greek even, it is... I've got ahead of myself. This is good, isn't it? It means lost. It means wasted, it means destroyed, it means perished, it means all of those things in the one. And this is what Jesus says a little bit later on in John 6. This is what he says about himself. Now, can we read this all together? Are you up for that? I've turned all teachery. Oh, dear. I always do. Sorry. Okay, let's just read all this together. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Never. That crowd were full. They had plenty. And the over and the above provision filled the 12 baskets. And that is what Jesus is into. The over and the above. He touched the bread. So we've had the tension, the excitement, the anticipation. We are now having the touch. And here is the question. What about you? Do you get into the presence, his presence, for long enough to be touched? For Jesus to speak with you by his Holy Spirit daily, weekly, monthly, never? And the Lord says to us, give me time and space, or even space and time, whichever way round. That's what the Lord says to us tonight. Give me time and space, and he will touch you. He will touch you. Last section. I think we're on the trigger now. We're onto the trigger. And that's what a trigger is. So Jesus' touch triggered the miracle. It causes something to begin, to happen, to take place. The trigger. Jesus touched the humble offering, the insignificant offering, and the multiplication took place. Now for the crowd, they were triggered, but in the wrong way, because they thought that they had found their political king. They thought, right, this is it, the answer's come, we're going to take him by force. That's what they thought, having seen this wonderful miracle. Their stomachs were full, they were really happy, and they thought, we've got our solution now. We're going to put this man called Jesus, he's going to be our king, and we're going to put him right up there, and he's going to solve all our problems. And Jesus withdrew, because that was not the trigger he was interested in at all. He wasn't interested in that. He didn't agree with it, and he withdrew. When you know Jesus and you're in his presence, every touch matters. Every word carries power. Every moment matters. The potential for the Holy Spirit to trigger an event or happening in your life is immense. It's absolutely immense. I'm going to ask you the question again. What about you? Do you get into his presence for long enough to be touched, for Jesus to speak with you by his Holy Spirit and trigger the happening, the event? Do you give him space and time? All of the food was blessed. All of the food was blessed. We don't know what happened to the 12 baskets, but it was blessed. All of that food, all of those pieces had potential. Every single piece had potential. Next screen, Amy, please. Let nothing in your life be wasted. Let nothing of Christ's touch in your life be lost, wasted, or be left to perish or die. When you come to Jesus, be filled with a healthy tension, full of anticipation. Let Jesus touch your seemingly insignificant offering and he will trigger the magnificent happening. Let the Holy Spirit blow across you. Let him turn the insignificant into the magnificent. Be ready, watching, and waiting daily. Let the trigger happen. Just going to leave that up for a moment. And now would you think again about your lives, about all your different parts of your lives, the people you meet, the places you go to. Are you ready? Are you waiting for the trigger? Because Jesus has touched you in the morning. And there you are out in your day and the trigger happens. Because you are ready, you are full of the Holy Spirit, the touch has happened, and you're ready. You are ready for the insignificant to become the magnificent in your life. When you are walking about, when you are at work, wherever you are. Jesus provides above and over anything we can imagine. There were 12 baskets ready to be eaten, but they weren't needed, but the blessing was there on that bread. Let nothing in your life be wasted. Not one word from Jesus, not nothing at all be wasted. Carry it with you. Carry it with you. So I just would like us to just dwell on that story and dwell on the tension, the touch, the trigger, and dwell on letting Jesus have time and space in your life. You might need to make some changes in the way that you do your daily life. Perhaps you've just not given Jesus space. And if you don't, he can't touch you, and he's desperate to touch you and to change you and to melt you and to love you. He's desperate. He's absolutely desperate to do that. And then you will go out with incredible joy, ready for the trigger. Someone might say something to you. You might just see a situation. You might have one of those suddenly words from the Holy Spirit, and you're able to give that out to that person, and you can be life to that person for that day. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just worship Jesus. Let's just worship.